We read from your letters on Thursdays, and this week there was a lot of email about the compelling radio diaries of Paula Bernstein and Elise Shine.
They're the identical twins who were separated at a very young age as part of a study about nature versus nurture.
Elizabeth Letty of Seattle writes, "As I sat in my driveway listening, I was surprised to find my anger at the scientific hubris that separated these girls in the first place competing with other equally strong emotions, joy and admiration. These two amazing women do not seem to focus on the incredible wrong that was done to them, but rather on the uniqueness of their lives, both before reuniting and after."
There was also praise for Daniel Swerdling's report about Lieutenant Colonel Colby Vokey.
Vokey served as one of the Marine Corps' top lawyers. He's now leaving the Marines. And he told us that some officers and people in the Bush administration have abused the military system of justice. Donald Revelle of Las Vegas, Nevada, writes this.
"Rarely these days is the courage of a report as sustained and sustaining as the man or woman whose courage is its subject. I was deeply heartened, therefore, by Daniel Swerdling's report. The Constitution is kept alive by the zeal of its friends, and I am happy today to know that it has such a friend as Vokey. Many thanks."
Many listeners expressed concern for our defense correspondent, Guy Raz. For his story on non-lethal weapons, he was not just a reporter, but a guinea pig for a demonstration of the Defense Department's active denial system. It's a sort of energy gun that uses radio waves to temporarily stun a person from more than 500 yards away. Here's Guy.
Oh. Oh. That's hot. It feels a little bit like opening an oven that's been roasting a turkey, but a very, very, very hot oven.
Well, Bill Olson of Washougal, Washington, was one of those who wrote. He said, "Your reporter may have increased his cancer risk. I'm very surprised nobody's raising any concern about the possible long-term health risks from this weapon."
After our interview with former House Speaker Newt Gingrich about his book, A Contract with the Earth, we mentioned his quiz to see if, in Gingrich's view, you are a mainstream environmentalist.
In came this note from John Schwadler. "Thanks for the Gingrich-authored environmental self-test on your website. I'll look forward to the Britney Spears parenting how-to quiz in the coming weeks."
Speaking of how-to, Darnall Stone of Lexington, Kentucky, had some advice following our story about wild turkeys going after runners around Boston. First, he told us about his experience with the breed, and he says it wasn't funny at all.
"One spring morning in the New York town of Fremont Center, I encountered a tom turkey blocking the road by holding a red Jeep at bay. I was also driving a red vehicle, so the turkey wavered back and forth between us. Finally, I got out and waved my red jacket at him, which he attacked long enough for the Jeep to elude him. Still flapping my jacket and still pursued by the aggressive tom, I got back in my truck and drove off."
He continued, "Are these joggers wearing red? Unlike bulls, birds can see colors. And, Mr. Stone, we checked. You are correct. Turkeys see colors. Thanks for the tip."
Some listeners took issue with Netta Ullaby's story about television shows that bleep innocuous words as a comedic device.
"It makes everything from the evening news to Mr. Rogers sound dirty.
If it's going to be hard, if it's not going to hurt, I like to be..."
It's horrible, and it's hard not to laugh.
Well, Aaron Allen of Lafayette, Indiana, wasn't laughing. He writes, "When will this childish and pandering attention given to non-broadcastable language end? Let the garbage mouths do what they want, but keep NPR out of the gutter."
Well, if you like what you hear or you don't, let us know. Go to our website, npr.org, and click on Contact Us at the top of the page.